This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 6, 2022. Wednesday in Passion Week, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We have no occasion to answer thee concerning this matter. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, that our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These words from the first reading today from Daniel. That ever so dramatic incident where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. Before they're thrown into the furnace, everything's good between those three and King Nebuchadnezzar. He's there. They are his confidants. They are his counselors. He really likes them. His allies and enemies of those three, they have him pass a law that says every time you hear a bunch of instruments go off, and I'm putting that in a nutshell because they're listed ad nauseum, the instruments that whenever certain instruments are played, you have to bow down and worship the golden statue that was set up. Well, they pass a law, and it is absolutely meaningless to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They will have no part of it. The law is in place. They continue to do what they do. And their enemies, they go to the kings. Hey, didn't you pass a law where every time they hear the instruments, they have to bow down and worship the statue? I did. Well, those three don't. King's kind of concerned about this. Like I said, they're friends of his. But he's concerned about this because all of a sudden they're not doing what he says. He calls them in. Is it true that every time you hear the instruments that it says in the law, you will bow down? I love their answer. We have no occasion to answer thee concerning this matter. This guy's the king. And back in those days, kings take your head off your shoulders just because they wanted to. They didn't like the way you looked at them. These three don't make an excuse for themselves. They look him dead in the face and say, we have no occasion to answer thee concerning this matter. We don't have to tell you one thing about how we view this. Because why? You may be the king here, but we have a king and king and lord of lords. We will listen to him. They go on. Well, he threatens them, of course. If you don't do it, throw you into the fiery furnace. He said, okay, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. For behold, our God is able to save us from the furnace. So they throw out this, that their God is omniscient. He doesn't need certain instruments played at a certain time of day and a king to write an edict that they bow down before him and worship him. He should just be worshipped because of who he is. And if he wills, he can remove them from the furnace. But they go on to that. But if he will not, we will not worship thy gods. So, I mean, they are all up in his face. We don't have to answer this, but I will give you this answer. Our God can save us from what you design, but even if he doesn't, we'll not worship your gods. That's an acquiescing to God's will when it comes to their demise, if that's what God wills. Kind of interesting to see Nebuchadnezzar's reaction. This man, again, I said, when this all started, these guys were his boys, right, to use our terminology. They were his friends. He really liked them. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the countenance of his face changed against them. It's really interesting to see what happens to a person when they're confronted with the truth. When they're confronted with the truth, because for all intents, they do a good job too of it. They don't say, that statue you made is not a god. It's just something that you put together with your own hands and you made a law that we have to bow down to worship. He can't do a thing, just a statue. They didn't go there. They don't criticize his religion, but they let him know in no uncertain terms, they don't go there. You do what you want, but we're not going to do it. When this kind of a truth, when this is thrown up in somebody's face, that you don't believe the way they do, and there is no reason for them to, fury against the truth. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. And not only, because you can get mad, and you don't necessarily have to react in that madness. Maybe you got a look on your face. Maybe you slam your fist onto the countertop or something like that. Everybody knows you're mad, but you don't like attack the other person. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury and his countenance changed toward them. And he made that thing 7 times hotter than it is right now. It made it so hot, it actually burned up the guys that were making it hotter. This thing is cooking. This ferocity that he has against, like I said, he was furious when he was confronted with the truth, but then now with all ferocity, does everything he can to destroy the purveyors of that truth. Throws him in the furnace. Little footnote here. Your Catholic Bibles, Daniel chapter 3 is significantly longer than it is in Protestant Bibles, because you have in Catholic Bibles the prayer that the Holy Spirit lets us know that those three men prayed while they were in the furnace. It goes from verse 25 to verse 94. 69 verses. That's a lot of verses of Scripture. 69 verses of these men exalting God. And you know what they start exalting him for? Them being in there. That kind of defies our human logic. A quote from one of the verses, one of the first ones. Thou hast brought all these things upon us for our sins. I don't know anything about sins with these guys, right? Everybody sins. They know they're sinners. Okay, they know that they think things and say things that they really shouldn't. Maybe they get a little bit too close to Nebuchadnezzar because they have it going on pretty good, living high on the hog, so to speak. But thou hast brought all these things upon us for our sins. And they're not just talking about, as that goes on, the prayer, it's not just talking about what's happening to them. It's talking about what's happening to their people who are now enslaved by Nebuchadnezzar. This is something that we have to understand about the will of God. You know, a lot of people, you just have to acquiesce to the will of God, and we leave it with what he does to us. Oh, I got sick. Oh, I had an accident. Oh, I lost my job. Oh, somebody else. Yeah, that's a huge part of it, but there's an equally huge part of it is we need to accept God's will when he chastises collectively, when he chastises a people for their sins, like's going on in the world right now, pandemics, wars, and such. Yes, those are chastisements of God. And to think anything different would be a sacrilege for you. Yes, God chastises his people. Yes, and it doesn't matter. These guys, they made, of course they're not rank sinners, or they wouldn't be where they are right now and doing what they did. They would have just said, okay, yeah, when we hear the instruments, we'll bow down. That's fine. Just, you know, chill out, king. No, they don't. They throw gas on the fire, so to speak, literally and figuratively. They understand that they and their people are being chastised by God. You know, and good Catholics have always known this. Just like, kind of interesting, this reading. Last night I was reading in a book I'm going through that's really kind of overwhelming me, but it's great. There was an anecdote that was shared last night in one of the chapters on God's will in a community, because yes, God does chastise people. God will occasionally chastise a community or a group of people because of the sins of one person. That's not fair. Yes, it is, because it doesn't matter if just because that one person's sin is what triggered the chastisement. Everybody's a sinner. And everybody needs a wake-up call every now and then. King David's a prime example. King David, he's told, Do not number the people. Just be happy with the fact that you're the king of Judah and Israel. Well, guess what David does? He numbers the people. God is not happy. And God gives him the choice of three things. And he picks that for 3 days, God will just chastise the people. Tens of thousands of Hebrew people were killed. Tens of thousands, because David did what he did. Were they sinless? No. Were they innocent? No. But God chastises. The anecdote that was shared in the book last night is that these are just not Bible stories. Attila the Hun. Everybody knows that name. From, you might not know the history, but everyone knows Attila the Hun, and he's just a raper and a pillager. Okay, that's what he does, him and his hordes. They're going across the continent of Europe, and they came to a city, and the bishop of that city put on all his bishop's regalia, and he and his priests got on horses, and they went out to meet Attila the Hun. And you'd think that he was going to negotiate, you know, oh, please don't do this. Here, we'll get down in front of you and humble ourselves and all this kind of stuff. They got up to Attila the Hun, and the bishop very boldly looked at him and said, who are you and what do you want? And Attila the Hun looked at him and said, I am the scourge of God. And the bishop looked at him and said, the scourge of God is welcome in this place, and turned around and rode back into the city. That's acquiescing to the will of God and knowing that, you know what? We're not in a position where we should get blessings all the time anyway. And if this is what we got going on right now, it's better for us and we deserve it and we will learn from it. What was kind of interesting about that anecdote is the Huns did go into that city and they did not burn, loot, or steal one thing. They just passed through. That's the Holy Spirit right there, rewarding the faithfulness of that bishop. That's the kind of stuff that we need to see when we see this anecdote such as this, is to understand that even this bad thing's happening, that occasionally God, like in that with the bishop and the Huns, he's going to bless like he did with these men. Miraculously remove you from the chastisement if you understand the chastisement. All these things point to what came to fulfillment with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he presented a truth to people. He presented a truth to them. His enemies did not like it. They did not like the truth, and they really didn't like the purveyor of truth. And just like Nebuchadnezzar, their fury was enraged against the truth. And then they ferociously attacked our Lord Jesus Christ. And interesting, you know, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. There's ones who, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. 7 days later, crucify him. Less than 7 days. Crucify him. Crucify him. Bloodlust for them. This is the fury of evil, the ferocious result of that evil within men. And our Lord was the victim of it. It is interesting what happened to our Lord. He humbled himself to be obedient even to the death of a cross. And for this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At the end of that story with the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar exalts and promotes the three young men. He exalts them and promotes them. And then he says, the Most High God hath wrought signs and wonders toward me. I threw those guys in there. They live. It shows me that their God is the true and eternal God. And we don't know if there was like this major conversion with Nebuchadnezzar, because as the story goes on, he continues to do some nonsense. But at the end of the day, we have to look at it, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, even this wicked king who threw these three men into the Most High God hath wrought signs and wonders toward me. What more glorious sign and wonder can we have than God coming down from heaven, dwelling among us, and then dying for us? We can say these same words. Nebuchadnezzar was an evil man. Most of us are not that evil. Most of us have been chucking people into furnaces and things like that, you know, and he did that kind of stuff all the time. The Most High God has wrought signs and wonders toward me. He got it. He got at least the fact that God was powerful and merciful to those who loved him. And he made a new law that God should be worshipped. He didn't even know who he was. But because of the signs and the wonders that happened before him, he did. Again, the signs and the wonders of the cross that we will particularly behold over this Passion Week, those things are something that you need to ponder. It doesn't matter how evil we may have been in the past or maybe even are. If we embrace this God that is desirous to show mercy, we will be exalted and promoted before him from a state of death and trespasses and sins to eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.